that we know him. Because when we obey his word, his love, something starts happening in your love walk. Turn over to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Lord, work in me. Hallelujah. I desire and I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. All right, look at John 14. Look at let's go back up to verse 21. He says, he that have my commandments and keepeth them. Sound like doing the word, right? He it is that what? Loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? Loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to him. So Jesus said, if you keep my word, I'm going to reveal myself to you. In other words, you'll be seeing Jesus when nobody else can see him. Everybody, where he at? What do he look like? Show him to me. No, you can't see him with natural eyes. People want to see in the flesh. No, your spiritual eyes get open. He begins to reveal himself, make himself known to you when you obey his word. And when he begins to make himself known to you, that means you start learning his ways. Right? If you hang out with me, you're going to know me, right? You're going to start learning about me. You'll start knowing how I do things. You'll start learning how I think, how I see things. You'll start learning my decision-making process. How does Pastor Greg make decisions? Well, you won't know that unless you've been hanging around me. You won't know what I like and dislike unless you've been with me. Somebody I never met before, I can't tell you nothing about them. But if I spend time with them, then I'm going to start learning some things about them, how they do things. And because this is Jesus talking here, he said, I'm going to love him and I'm going to reveal myself to the person that keeps my word. In fact, it is not the lip service. It is not the lip service, I love you, that counts. How many know everybody on Sunday morning say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. They mind a bit more on Jesus. Mine ain't nowhere on Jesus. They're thinking about fishing. They think about hunting. They think about the football game. It's, you know, the Saints gonna be on at 1 o'clock. Who pastor don't take us into the first quarter? I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you gonna get out of that? Jesus said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. That's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He going to look at how you live and how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm going to say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the programs, you got everything. But you don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you tell me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, see, he wanted to know, he said, how you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, you got that thing. So everybody show your love for someone. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do, how to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected, so that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word, keeping that word, having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the love walk.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFM. We're 5 cities strong all day long. Lead it.
We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety
in
music. Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On. Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29 and verse 29. And our reader is going to read it nice and slow for you so you can hear, and as you hear, you can see it in your own Bible. Amen. Read them.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret thing belong unto the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm.
But those things which are revealed belong unto us,
mm-hmm,
and to our children,
mm-hmm,
forever.
Amen.
That we may do all the words of this law.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, pass it on. Pass it on. It's important to understand that Moses has just finished sharing blessings and cursings before the people for them to choose life or choose death by their choices, their actions, and by their conduct. It is important to understand that God and Moses, the man of God, wanted the people of God to choose life, choose blessings, choose the way of God, choose to walk in his word, in his will, and in his way. And if they chose not to accept his word, will, and way, then there were cursings that doubled the blessings. And so when you read this, you're going to understand and discover that the blessings that God has placed before us take us from one good degree to the next degree. But the cursings curse us both in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. And so this is a word that when he finishes sharing with the people of God, that he wants them to understand, because there is a reality in serving a true and living God. And he does not want them to mistake the fact that God sits up high, but he looks down low. He sees everything. He knows everything. He hears everything. He's in every place. So there is no fooling God. Moses said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And I want to talk about one, impossibilities. Because what Moses is saying, those things that are impossible belong to God. The secrets, the mysteries, the hidden things belong to God. They are the deeper things. They're the things that are so wonderful that we could not ever fully comprehend what God is saying or doing. And so because of that, God keeps those things from us. Jesus tells Nicodemus, listen, Nicodemus, there are so many wonderful things I'd like to share with you, but if you can't understand earthly things, how can you understand heavenly things? Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the flesh or just in the spirit, because the experience was so real to him that God made it unlawful for him to tell any other man what he had seen and what he had heard. John the Baptist on the Isle of Patmos, exiled there, was shown a revelation of Jesus Christ and things yet to come. He revealed some pretty horrible things, but he saw some other things that he was not permitted to tell us about. Those are the hidden things, the secret things, the mystery that God holds within his own person and power, that he recognizes one is too wonderful for us. Somebody say, too wonderful for us. You remember when Job had questioned God and God had enough of him, God started questioning him. Job, where were you when I hung the skies and the sun and the moon and the stars? Job, where were you when I wrote the zigzag lightning against the black bosom of the heavens? Job, where were you? And Job, when he got through asking Job all these questions, Job said, Lord, I couldn't answer that because those things were too wonderful for me. I had no idea, no concept of what you were doing. I couldn't understand you on your order. And so as a result of that, God was trying to say and is saying to us, stop trying to be so deep. One of the things that made Jesus's ministry so authentic and attractive was the fact that he made things simple. The deepest man that ever walked planet Earth, that knew secrets both of heaven and hell, not to mention earth, and yet he made things as simple as possible. Wasn't trying to show all his knowledge. We couldn't handle his knowledge. Wasn't showing all his mysteries. We couldn't handle his mysteries. Couldn't show all his mastery, because we couldn't handle his mastery. They were too wonderful for us. But not only are they too wonderful, they're too weighty. All right. Too weighty. There's some things that's so heavy that if God were to reveal them to us, it'll blow our minds. You talk about in a quandary. You talk about confused and dazed and perplexed. You talk about don't know which way to turn. You don't know if you're coming or going up or down or turning right. You talk about being confused if God laid some of the weight on you that's on him. Matter of fact, God said, listen, if I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you about it. Because you couldn't do nothing about it. But yet I feed you every day, all day, and never run out. It's weighty. It's weighty. But not only is it wonderful and weighty, but it's wearisome. Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." In other words, he doesn't get weak. You can't wear him out. And you can't figure out what he's doing. I like to remind us of that every now and then because we don't understand. Listen, we all can call on the Lord individually at one time, and he can hear all of us calling on him at one time and answer us all at one time because he does not faint. We can't put too much on God. We can't tell God the heaviest thing and think it's going to bother God. Here's what you need to know. God knew it before it happened. God saw it before time began. God can handle anything. And it bothers God when we don't learn how to take our troubles to him and leave them there. But if God were to reveal some of the mysteries of heaven and his knowledge, it would be too wearisome for us. Because there are things that happen to us right now. We're still asking why, Lord? What God? Where God? When God? How God? Because we can't even handle the things that happen now. Right now, we fall apart when a little thing happened to us. We act like God has abandoned and forsaken us because he permits us to go through some stuff that's going to strengthen us. That's going to develop us. That's going to define us. And we become weary over it because we don't want to go through nothing. But yet we want to be closer to him. The closer you get to him, the more he'll make you feel. You need to get ready for that. Lord, I want to be just to be close to you. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? But you don't know there's a cost to be close. There are things you've got to let go in order to be close. There are things you've got to do in order to be close. Many times it's too much for us to bear. So leave the impossibilities to God. He specializes in impossibilities. I wish I had a witness in the house. But then secondly, the word says, but those things which are revealed belong to unto us and to our children for how long? Forever. Now somebody say possibilities. See, God says, leave the impossibilities to me and you handle the possible things. I'll leave the possible things to you. Why is this important? Because what God wants us to see is what he has revealed is what he wants us to know. Listen to me well. And what he wants us to know, we can handle. And if we can handle it, he wants us to do it. Did you get what I just said? If God doesn't reveal something to you, it's because he doesn't want you to know it, because you can't handle it. And what do we do? Go snooping. Go picking. Go calling, asking, trying to find out. Listen, if God wants you to know something, he'll reveal it to you. You ain't got to go run looking. You ain't got to go trying to hide no, find no investigator. You ain't got, God will let you walk right up on. Matter of fact, God will leave you in your bed dreaming and show you everything that happened. Yeah, I ain't talking to no real people in the house. I'm trying to tell you what God wants you to know. He knows how to get it to you. And you didn't even have to ask for it. But here, the word says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. That's facts. That's written records. That's experiences. That's witnesses. All of those things that are revealed to us, God wants us to know them for a purpose. That's why the Bible says the people of God perish for a lack of knowledge. Now listen to this. But the knowledge that they perish from is the fact that he has given them a written record and they won't read it. Not because he's hid it from them, but because they won't use what they've got. They're asking God, God, such and such and such, if it be your will, we'll open up the record and see if it's his will. It's in the Bible. You don't have to pray amiss, as James said. Many of us, some of us don't ask, and then the others of us who do ask, ask amiss. In other words, they don't hit the bullseye. They hit all around it because they don't know what they ought to be asking for. Here's what you need to know. That first of all, you've got to know what it is God wants you to desire. The Bible says, very simply, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. How do I delight myself in the Lord? In his word, in his spirit, in his presence. I delight myself in the Lord. He reveals himself in his word, in his spirit, in his presence. See, sometimes you just need to be where the Lord is moving and operating and flowing and get into it. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to wonder this and wonder that. Just trust God. Trust him. He gives you the revelation of information for a purpose to better your life. Paul says, all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. In other words, these 66 books you have called the Bible were put together because God thought it necessary basic information before leaving earth. And if you will recognize, listen, this is not everything there is for you to know, but he figures if you just do what you do out of these 66 books, you will occupy till he comes. We trying to do, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in you. Ain't nothing new under the heavens. That's what the word says.
But it's new to you, and you won't act like just because it's new to you, it's new to everybody. No. What he reveals to you, he reveals for you to do at the time he reveals it to you, or to prepare yourself to do it. And the devil don't want you to know this. When God wants you to know where he wants you to go, at the time he wants you to go, he reveals it. He just wants you to prepare to go. Get yourself together. If you ain't got no job, he at least wants you to get up, take a shower, clean yourself up, put some clothes on, and at least be ready to go find one. You'll be surprised where you find work at, if you want to work. But then the next part makes it clear that we may do all the words of this law. That's participation. Participation. It doesn't make any sense to know it and don't do it. James said that makes you a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. The only reason why he wants you to hear the word is so you can do the word. Not just hear the word so you can know the word, but hear the word so you can know what it is God wants you to do. And when you know what it is he wants you to do, do it. Paul writes Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both received and learned, or learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You wanna be able to have an anointing on your life like Paul had. You've got to get close to God. You've got to get to know God. You've got to be in a place where God will speak and you will listen. But then when you get through listening, you will get up and begin to act. Paul did so much. And when God lifted him up to that third heaven experience, God had to permit Satan to buffet him. When Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh, and God didn't do it, but God rather told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Twice before God tells him that, he says he's done that. So Paul, translated, doesn't get a big head. And we got too many big-headed Christians who are super holy and super righteous when they get a little close to God and want to condemn everybody else that isn't walking like they think they're walking and act like they are all of that. And they, listen, they do more damage to the people of God and the kingdom of God than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're spirit-filled. But don't act like you're the only one. And don't act like you've always been like that, because there is a record. Yeah. Somebody know what you've done before you got all holier than you are. So he wants us to participate. Do it, do it, do it, do it. See, the reward doesn't come until you do it. The labor is worthy of his reward. He's worthy of his hire. He's worthy of his pay when he does it. The blessings of God come when you do them. All the words of this law. It means you don't have the privilege to pick and choose what you want to do, what you want to believe, how you want to act and where you want to go and how you want to present things. You got to do it his way.